Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to Fast Tracking Performance. I'm thrilled to be here with you today. I can't wait to share this simple, but not necessarily easy system with you. It's going to make a tremendous difference in your business. And I have to say, it really is my most favorite thing that I get to teach managers of other people, because it will resolve so many challenges for you. So if you had a chance to join me in our last program on delegating smartly, you know that when you set up a delegation properly, you set up the work for your team member properly, it helps to eliminate a lot of problems. And yet, challenges still pop up. This is how you deal with those challenges. So I'm really excited to be here with you, and we're just going to jump right in with a little bit of housekeeping here. So a couple of recommendations for you. If you can close other programs on your desktop, that's a good idea. Most of us have a wireless internet connection, but if you have a hardwired one, that's a good idea too. We've got some chat today, and I may be asking some polling questions, so please let me know. Participate, because the more you participate, the more you're going to learn, and the more you'll be able to take with you after this program ends. We've got the ability for you to mute or unmute your line. Right now, everyone's muted. So we have a nice clean recording for now, and we will make sure we have some interaction via the chat and voice if you'd like as we go through our time together today. If you want to unmute your line and you're on the phone, it's *6. If you're participating in the webcast and you're using the Zoom app on your phone or on your desktop, you'll see in your toolbar there's a nifty little mute icon with a microphone on it. Same for your video as well. Okay. Again, I'm Deanna Mayo, and I'm so excited to be here with you today, because this concept of being able to coach or get your employees back on fast track is really the expectation of an effective manager. And what I mean by that is your team members are expecting you to help get them back on track when things go awry. They value this kind of coaching. And I know many of us on the call consider ourselves coaches. So let's just agree that for the purposes of our time together today, whether you're watching the recording, listening to the recording, or you're here live, is that coaching is about just like an athletic coach, right? We're supporting that person and giving their best performance. Employees or team members value coaching because it helps them to develop professionally. And I know that starting out, I felt a lot of pressure to solve problems for my team members. That's what I thought it meant to be a good manager. But that's not necessarily a formula for success. And that's why having an effective model for coaching is so important, because when we have that in place, then we can see that our team member is growing and developing through mistakes and misunderstandings and challenges, and not just us swooping in like a superhero to save them from it. It helps guide both the manager and the team member in a partnership in addressing that person's professional development. And when successfully applied, it helps the employee achieve success within their role. So the benefits of using this model are for the manager, for the organization, as well as the team and the employee, and it helps everyone to become more effective and more efficient. So the purpose of our time together today is to really help you to assist in developing the skills you need to coach others as they work to meet job expectations and goals. You know, one of the greatest contributions a manager can make to an organization, to your company, is helping the people on your team accomplish critical work goals. And great managers understand that team members are in various stages of development and may require ongoing coaching and feedback in order to develop the skills needed to meet those goals. So our learning goals for today's program: by the end of this session, you'll be able to give constructive feedback that can be heard and acted upon. In other words, your delivery will be such that there is a higher likelihood that behavior will change, which is what we want. That's a good return on investment for our efforts. You'll be able to take ownership of your own observations to reduce defensiveness. So you'll become more comfortable providing your comments, your observations in the first person, rather relying on them. and you'll be able to recognize and appreciate performance improvement. You'll be much more attentive to noticing positive performance and commenting on it. So let's jump in to find out how often you're giving feedback now. So how often, and let's use the chat box, and if you're joining us on the recording, you can just play along. How often do you give constructive feedback to redirect performance? Would you say it's several times a day, once a day, a couple times a week, once a month, hardly ever? You can be as honest with yourself and with us as you feel comfortable. Of course, the more honest you are, the better results you're going to get in our time together today. Okay, great. So many of you are thinking hardly ever, maybe once a month, and it may be that you don't have the opportunity to give feedback, but if it's due to a lack of comfort in giving feedback and coaching, I hope that today's session will help to build your confidence as well as your skill, because we need both. So consider a typical situation in which you need to give constructive feedback. Not the most difficult situations you face, right? But the fairly typical need for guidance or direction. I'd love to hear from a few of you, what gets in the way of giving feedback well? You can use the chat box to respond. I see some of you are chatting with me privately. That's fine too. You don't have to chat with everyone. I welcome the feedback and the participation however I can get it. Oh, good. I'm seeing some answers come in. So Christina says, I don't want to offend them. Yeah, that's a pretty big one, right? I hurt feelings. Also, when we offend or we hurt someone's feelings, then their productivity will go down. Christina also says, some of my assistants took feedback too personally. So there's an interesting dynamic here, and I don't want to go off topic too much. We're going to address this, but feedback's never, if it's given properly, if it's given the way I'm going to share with you, it's actually never about the person. It's about the task that was completed and the results. And so some of that can be resolved in how you deliver the feedback, if you, some of you are experiencing that. And some of that is just teaching and helping your person to understand that you want what's best for them. And that it's not personal. And some things you can just never change with people. But over time, you can get them to see that feedback's not a bad thing. Good. So we've captured some variety of reasons why leaders have trouble providing constructive feedback. We are going to really dig into this today so that we understand what the benefits are to us and to them. Because when we're clear on the benefits, it makes it easier to take the step forward and take a chance and give the feedback, right? If we're clear on what the vision of what's possible is, it's easier to make the change, as with most changes, right? So what do you think the benefits are to you and your team if you are a great coach? Let's hear from a few of you in the chat box. By the way, today's water is flavored tropical. It's like pineapple-y and coconut-y, and it's delicious. I know nobody wanted to know that, but for some reason, I felt compelled to tell you. All right, so some of the responses coming in that they develop and grow. Several of you have said that, absolutely. They don't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. You don't have to jump in and rescue and solve problems for them. They gain confidence. They enjoy their job more. You enjoy the job more. Yep, good. So I think we can agree that learning to deliver constructive coaching is a key leadership skill. In most management roles, we are called upon to provide this kind of coaching on a pretty regular basis. So I would say if you have a 40-hour a week employee, as I know some of you do, then that's daily probably. You should be interacting with your team member in some way. If you have a less than full-time person, maybe it's a couple times a week, every other day, that kind of a thing. You know, we can learn to do it in a way that motivates, rather than frustrates and demoralizes our team. So this model that I'm teaching you, I often refer to it as fast-tracking performance, but I really like to call it coaching to redirect. And it means that supervisors, whoever it is that is responsible for that person's performance, will adopt a new mindset, one that understands that both positive and negative feedback are a natural part of our development as professionals and as human beings. And I know, again, I know that some of you, you know, get hung up on the word coaching. I just want you to think of it as if I was an athlete, right? You're helping me to learn how to give my best performance. Not necessarily how some of us refer to coaching as, you know, a model for transformation and change. Though the truth is, it's very similar. So now that we are clear on why it's so important to fast track performance and get people back on track after mistakes and misunderstandings, let's really get clear on what coaching to redirect is. I already said that the word coach has been used a lot of different ways, you know, whether you're a manager or supervisor, you are working with an athletic team. Some people look at it as giving feedback and counseling. Some people look at coaching and they are thinking about mentoring. So in our time together, I think we need to define it as a tool that a manager uses or a supervisor uses to help their employees hit their job targets. Coaching to redirect is providing positive and negative or constructive, however you want to word it, so that people can reach their job expectations or targets, develop the skills needed to accomplish their work goals, get back on track when they experience a performance problem, and take ownership of their performance so that they can master their job responsibilities. Now, none of us can develop new skills or take on new assignments quickly without the support of an effective coach. And for those of you that are the CEO or the leader of your business, you may have coaches too, right? Maybe there's an external person that you work with. Maybe you have a business partner or a colleague who steps into that role from time to time. I know I have many people like that in my business. So imagine learning the sport of archery. Your coach would be there to help you learn how to hold the bow, position your arms correctly, to adjust your posture and your stance. If you missed the bullseye, your coach would give you suggestions for redirecting your arrow. Coaching to redirect is not giving feedback to discipline or correct someone, to begin the first step in a formal corrective action process. So those of you inside larger organizations where you have an HR team supporting you, this is not what that is. And it's definitely not about assigning responsibility or blame for a problem. So we're talking about coaching as it relates to developing people as opposed to correcting performance deficiencies, right? There's a big difference between someone not hitting the target exactly and that they're deficient. This approach encourages coaching, encourages the manager to view the process as developmental rather than corrective. Therefore, we're assisting employees in improving their skills in incremental, effective ways. So the underlying philosophy, if you will, guiding this course is that employees given effective feedback will move along the continuum toward high performance, as illustrated in our employee or team member development path. So whenever an employee starts a new job or takes on a new task, they begin their journey on this employee development path. They start at expectations and training. So as we journey down this path, the first stage is where we need clear goals as the employee. We need standards. We are probably going to need on-the-job training. And this is the person who might say, "Tell me and show me what you expect." In the second stage, we call performance with support. The employee needs consistent, positive, and constructive feedback. And he or she might say something like, "Let me do it with your feedback," or "Let me do it with your coaching." The third stage is independent performance. This is where the person is meeting expectations, performing without supervision. They might be saying or thinking, you know, "Let me do it alone. Coach me." Excuse me. Oh my goodness. Pardon me. Excuse me. Ah. So So they might say, coach me only if I need it, right? And then in high performance, this is the final stage. This person is functioning at a high level of performance. They need very little day-to-day coaching. However, they might say things like, help me to continue to develop and grow. So the best coaches support us as we move through these four stages. So my question for you then is, if each of our employees are moving through this developmental cycle, you can apply this cycle to their overall job performance or to an individual task. As coaches, it's our job to reinforce and redirect their performance as they move through the stages towards high performance. So my question for you is, at what stage in the employee development path are employees most likely to need coaching to redirect? Would you say it's level 1, level 2, level 3, or level 4? You can use the chat to respond. Okay, good. Everyone's on track. So yeah, we primarily coach to redirect at levels 1 and 2 when people are still learning the task or the job. If you are coaching to redirect levels 3 and 4, someone has gone off track and needs to get back to original expectations. At levels 3 and 4, we use some different kinds of coaching strategies. So the best leaders are great coaches, and a great leader improves an individual's performance, which then benefits the team and the organization overall. And as this quote explains, the payoffs of coaching go far beyond the individual. So there are some key elements that effective managers use when coaching their team members. The effective leader gives constructive feedback that can be heard and acted upon, takes ownership of his or her observations to reduce defensiveness in the person they're giving the feedback to, and recognizes and appreciates performance improvement. So let's begin with element number 1. The leader gives constructive feedback that can be heard and acted upon. Now, it's important for leaders to present feedback in a way that the employee is receptive to hearing and understanding. And I have found that there are 3 criteria for making sure your feedback can be heard and acted upon. You have to make sure the feedback is developmental. So it should be focused on developing the employee's skill or performance, not determining who's to blame. It needs to be descriptive and neutral. So it should be specific descriptions of what's needed or what is missing, leaving out any judgment or criticism. And it needs to be well-timed. It should be provided as soon after the event as possible while respecting the employee's time as well. So, you know, I know we're all human. Each of us has a mixture of skills and talents, as well as areas of opportunity for development, or weaknesses, some people call them. I think it would be safe to say that we're all in a process of continuous development. So I'm curious, what does it mean to you when I say that feedback should be developmental in nature? You can use the chat to respond. Tell me, what does that look like for you? What does that mean to you? So Christina said it really well. I mean, it's kind of obvious when we stop to think about it, right? It's like, well, developmental means the purpose is to create development. And yet, sometimes our feedback is in the middle of 2 other things that are really important. It's terse, it's quick, and it doesn't take into account that how we say things and what we say can impact our real intention, which is to develop our team members. So using the chat or your workbook, if you had a chance to download that, you don't have to have had it, but it'll be a great tool for you going back. You know, we're all in different stages of development, and understanding this from a manager's perspective empowers you to be more effective in coaching your employees. So I'd like you to take a minute to really evaluate your own strengths and weaknesses. If you have the workbook, you can use the I'm in a Work in Progress 2 exercise on page 3. And if not, you can just jot down a piece of paper and a pen on your computer in the chat box, if you like, some areas of strength and some areas of challenge for you as a manager and leader in your business. And I'm going to play too, because I have my areas of challenge and strength as well. Because I don't have a piece of paper and a pen right now. I'm going to do it on my phone. Okay. So I think the idea here is that we've all had the experience of having a misstep, a misunderstanding, or not performing like we'd like. For many of us, it's been a long time since we've had a manager, but we've definitely had these things pop up working with our teams. And most of us have had the experience of being given constructive feedback in a way that we could really hear it, where we didn't get defensive about it. So, for example, a client of mine was telling me the other day, we were talking about this, and she said she had a manager give her some constructive feedback when she was really angry about something and shouting. And the manager said, "You're waving your report in my face. I can't listen to you if you stop. I can listen to you if you stop shouting and sit down." She wasn't even aware that she was kind of out of control, but his calm tone, and because he wasn't blaming or shaming her, she was able to hear him and adjust the behavior. So I'd like you to think about a time when you were given difficult feedback that motivated you to improve. What did that person say or do that made it easier for you to respond positively? Take a moment now to think about that. I hope you have more than one example that will come to mind, but we only need to hear one. What did they say or do that made it easier for you to respond positively? You can use the chat to respond. Yeah, so I'm hearing a lot of the same stuff. Not blaming, not judging, being calm, being centered as they delivered the feedback. Good. So when we're aware of our own work in progress or our own development areas, we're more likely to be effective when helping other people address their development needs. And how you phrase your comments and the manner in which you treat people will have a tremendous impact. The next element of giving feedback that can be heard and acted upon is that it's descriptive and neutral. So good coaches approach people with a spirit of curiosity and interest, not judgment or criticism. And the goal is to remain neutral and detached and to keep it objective. So descriptive feedback is objective. It's based on facts, observable evidence. It is not our interpretation or our judgment of what we saw or heard. It's clear, so it avoids vague or ambiguous comments, and it's specific, and we have concrete examples. So I'm going to read an example, and then I want you to use the chat box to let me know if it's descriptive and neutral or not. So you can just say yes or no. So here we go. "If you pulled your own weight around here, we'd all be less stressed out. Descriptive and neutral or not?" Okay. Yeah, not a good example, right? Pulled your own weight is not a clear description. That could be different for everybody. And we'd all be less stressed out is an exaggeration. It's not necessarily a fact. Good. How about, "I had trouble reading the phone message you took yesterday." I guess it's phone messages, isn't it? I had trouble reading the phone messages you took yesterday. Descriptive and neutral or not? Yeah. Okay, good. You're seeing the trends here. So it's very specific, it's objective, and it's neutral. And it's about my having trouble, not you having bad handwriting, right? Which is judgmental. All right. You've really developed a careless attitude about your work. I know it's kind of silly now, but we do say things like this in the heat of the moment or when we're in a hurry, and sometimes we forget. This is definitely not descriptive and neutral. The phrase careless attitude is not objective. It's very subjective and it's not clear. There's no specifics here. Someone wouldn't know what this looks like, right? So I kind of look at it like this. If I were watching a movie of the scene of you having a careless attitude, what would I actually see you doing? That's observable feedback. Not necessarily saying a careless attitude is not helpful at all. How about this one? This morning when I came into the office, I noticed that you'd left a confidential document up on your computer screen. Descriptive and neutral or not? Yeah, it's very well done. It's clear, it's specific, and it uses the language of personal observation, right? I noticed this. All right, so let's move now to the third part of constructive feedback, feedback that is well-timed. The next important criterion in giving feedback is that it can be heard and acted upon, is that it's well-timed. To be well-timed, feedback should be immediate, yet sensitive to their work demands. So as soon after the incident as possible, while being respectful of their time and their job demands. So that means if they're trying to head out the door on Friday evening, maybe that's not the right time because they're going to miss the beginning of their kids' soccer game. It should be responsive to the way that they process information. So, for example, considering their need for time to think or the need to discuss with you thoroughly in order to understand it. Some people really appreciate that and require that to be able to process. And then is it aligned with their preferences and needs, that person's, not just yours, right? So for those of you that work with your team face-to-face, does it need to be face-to-face? Can it be done in writing? Or maybe a phone call is okay, but after they've had some time to evaluate their own performance. So well-timed feedback is important to the employee receiving it. Waiting several days or weeks before giving feedback means it's no longer fresh. And with the pace that we run in our businesses, it needs to be fresh in their minds for them to be involved and for them to be effective in processing it and fixing the behavior. Business will never run this slow again. So as quickly as you can give that feedback to them, still respecting their job demands and their schedule, the better. Okay. So we've been discussing the three characteristics of constructive feedback. First, that it's developmental in nature. Second, that it's descriptive and neutral. And third, that it's well-timed. Now we're going to put this criteria together and complete the self-assessment on page 4 in your participant guide. And this is going to help you to evaluate your strengths and challenges and how you give feedback. If you don't have the participant guide, no worries. You can just take a moment to really think about how well are you doing in these areas. And I would encourage you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 being you're amazing, you're awesome, there's no improvement needed, you're killing it. And 1 being you're not doing so hot at all on each one of these areas. So just go ahead and take a second now to think about that. And I'd love for you to identify which area is your greatest strength. Is it that it's well-timed? Is it that it's developmental? Is it that it is descriptive and neutral? Isn't it funny what you notice when you're doing a webcam training? So vain of me to say this, but I'm just being myself today. Just realized I have like almost no jewelry on, which I normally do. Yeah, you can definitely fill it out now if you can. That'd be great. I think it will be useful and helpful. If you don't have time right now to fill it out, meaning like You got to print it out. You don't have it available to you. You can always do it later. That's the benefit of having these trainings recorded, is you can always come back and pick up where you left off. Or more importantly, review it again, because the fact is we really can only retain about 25% of the new information we're given to us in a training like this. So within about a week, you're going to forget about 75% of what we covered. So I really do recommend, and I know we're all busy, but that's the thing with a skill like this, is that it's important but not urgent. So it always gets pushed to the back burner. So I recommend that within the next 2 weeks, you come back to this and you go through the process again so that you can retain more, right? Because it's not that knowledge is power, it's that applied knowledge is power. And if you have that knowledge and then you act on it, you practice it, you refresh your memory on it, you're more likely to get the results. Okay, so I hope that by taking a look at your strengths and weaknesses when it comes to giving feedback, you are recognizing that we all have some room for improvement when it comes to giving feedback that's developmental, descriptive, and well-timed. And if we focus our attention here, our team members are much more likely to be able to hear and act on our coaching, and then we get the behavior change that we're looking for. So the second key element is to take ownership of your observations to reduce defensiveness. So I want to give you an example, and I want you to think about, if I were to give you feedback in this manner, how would you likely respond? I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but everyone's decided that your reports are just not complete and accurate. Someone in your position really should have a better grasp of accounting principles, and you really should proofread your work before you give it to others. I'm surprised you aren't more embarrassed by this. Acting. Thank you. All right, so how would you feel if you got feedback like that? Again, it seems so obvious to us when it's done wrong in an example like this, but I can promise you there have been times when you're just in a rush and you're in a hurry and your employee hears language like this. Yeah, it's bad. This is a bad, I'm a bad manager in this example, right? This is going to create a wall, a defensive wall between you and your team member, and the tone implies that the coach is superior, almost parental, right? Now, the good news is there's some simple approaches that can help you to take the edge off for the recipients of your feedback. Here are some ways that you can take the ownership of your own observations and help reduce the opportunity for that wall to get built. Give feedback in the first person. Now, many of us have heard this before, especially if we've done any kind of reading books on relationships. You know, it's like I'm supposed to use the I language. Speak in the language of personal observation or preference rather than absolute statements. You want to consider the differences between work style and the employee's work style, your work style and their style. So there can be many routes to the same end point. You need to ask yourself whether the difference you're observing is a style difference or not. And it can really help if you link the behavior back to the bigger system, the organization, the department. Without this link, an employee may take your feedback as a personal attack rather than a legitimate request for change. So let's talk about each one of these for a second. Taking personal responsibility for your observations and your feelings is going to set the stage for a mutual dialogue between you and your team member. And when you use the language of personal observation, it gives that person room to breathe and evaluate the situation openly. Using you statements and blame is going to probably lead to that person taking a really defensive posture. So in a minute, I'm going to show you a feedback statement, and I'm going to ask you to chat into the chat box to restate that statement and transform it from a you statement into an I statement. So for instance, instead of saying, "The way you wait until the last minute to do an important project drives me crazy." I actually have a client like this right now. I love her so much, but she's definitely a last minute kind of person. So if she were my team member, I might say instead, "I feel nervous when you complete projects at the last minute. I'm concerned that we won't have time to correct errors." Yeah, when you wait till the last minute to complete a project, it makes it harder for me to do my part. That's true. And I think we could probably even take it a step further to say, I noticed that you're completing projects very close to the deadline, right? And then you can tie it into the system, which we're going to get to in a second, to say something like, as a result, those who have work on the project after you have to complete it in less time than what was originally allotted. It can be that you need to adjust the deadline. You know, some people are just, they're prompted by last minute. They're pressure prompted. In the personality theory that I study, Myers-Briggs, which is Jungian psychological type, about half the planet are pressure prompted. Christina says you're pressure prompted. Yeah. And it's not that it's bad. It's just different. I identify as one of those people that I'm not pressure prompted. Now, that doesn't mean that if I have a deadline, I'm not going to hit it. I'm going to kill myself, but I don't prefer it, and it's not how I work best. I'm definitely more of a planner. So if Christina and I were working together, and I knew that I had work to do after her, I would probably change my feedback from, you know, what's given in this example to say that we need to either change the deadline or find a way to see that the work's getting completed before the very end of the project timeline. Oh, and yeah, I'm sorry. That was a misspoken, right? So pressure prompted people, it doesn't mean you're not necessarily a planner. And people who are not pressure prompted doesn't mean that they don't ever work hard against a deadline. It's really about preference. And having a deadline is part of the plan, right? The big difference here is, how do you really like to orient your life? You know, are you the kind of person that if you were going to float down the river of life, you'd want GPS and a map, or you more go with the flow and adaptable and flexible? I like having a plan. Normally, I have my ENFJ mug here for these programs too. Yep. Yeah, Christina, I think you really identify more like I do. And in the Myers-Briggs work, it's referred to, you know, the J or the judging, even though it doesn't mean anything about being judgmental. It means about being more planful, more scheduled, more, I can't think of another word right now, but yeah. Oh, ENFJ. That's right. We talked about that last time. I forgot. Yep, exactly. All right, great. So let's move through some of these examples and see if we can't correct them. All right, first example. You were rude to that customer. You were rude to that customer. That is very hard to read, isn't it? Let's make that white. There we go. How might we change that so it is us taking observation of our own, ownership of our own observations? So here's a trick. When I'm thinking about feedback to someone on my team, and I'm in the middle of the emotional mess that is, they screwed it up, or they made a mistake, and I'm mad or angry or frustrated or stressed, I like to write down what I would like to say in that moment, and then I use this exercise to reframe it. So you might say instead, I noticed you didn't make eye contact or smile at that last customer. Notice how that's about the observable behavior, right? Okay, let's look at our second example. Second example is, if you don't stop coming into work late, I'm going to write you up. Now, I understand most of you, many of you are in organizations where you don't have a formal HR procedures like this, and many of you are working with independent contractors, so you're not even worried about things like corrective performance. You might just likely like fire somebody, but this one comes up a lot. So if you don't stop coming into work late, I'm going to write you up. So what if I said instead, the start time for your shift is 8 a.m. I'm concerned that you've been 10 minutes late for 3 days in a row. Neutral, specific, I'm taking ownership for my observations, right? All right, here's our last practice statement for now. Tom, Kim and I think you do not do your fair share of the work. It's terrible. Can you imagine if you heard that, how awful you'd feel? I just think you'd feel terrible. There we go. All right, so how might I reframe that? Yeah, it could be something like, I'd like to see even participation for all the team members. My perspective is that others on the team are handling more tasks. Again, very neutral. It's just like, just the facts, ma'am. If you remember that from Dragnet. Gosh, I'm really dating myself there, huh? All right, so now that you got the hang of wording feedback in the first person, let's look at how we link the behavior to the system. So we're focused on the second element. This is taking ownership of our observations to reduce defensiveness. And one way to do this is to really pay attention to the differences in work style. So it's obvious that there are many kinds of people in the world and there are many routes to the same goal. And rather than assuming that your work style or your approach is the best, it's important for us to value the work styles of others. Now, there are many in-depth personality assessments on the market. I mentioned earlier that I love utilizing Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, many of them that can help you explore your style. For today, we're just going to be using a quick evaluation with just four questions. So you can use page 6 on your participant guide, or you can just look at the questions here on the screen and just ask yourself whether you characterize yourself more as someone who's structured or spontaneous. And ask yourself those four questions, and it's easy enough to just circle or make note of which one of those pairs, those four pairs, do you identify with the most. I know you may be tempted to choose both responses. I want you to think about your natural preference or style, not what you've learned to do to be successful. And don't think too hard, just go with your first instinct. We'll see you later, Christina. Have a great rest of your day. All right, so now that we've got a sense of our working style, I want you to take a moment to build a picture of your team member styles. Think of one or two members of your team, or maybe even a colleague that you might partner with, do some buddy coaching or some work with. How does your individual work style differ from their individual work style? You can use the chat to respond, or you can just make note of it for yourself, especially if you are paying attention to you're listening to the recording. So I'll tell you as an example, I definitely identify as structured, like to work with others, big picture, and considers feelings. However, I have learned how to shift into the opposite. I've learned how to be more analytical. I do have quite a bit of analytical stuff going on too. I've learned how to be more detailed and learned how to work alone, but I don't like it. It drains me. So notice it's likes to work alone or with others. Not you can do it, right? Okay. So when we begin to phrase feedback or coaching with recognition of style differences, it's easier to ask for what you need from others. It allows you to say, I prefer a more structured approach to presenting sales data. Would you please organize your information so it appears in columns, like this example, right? So much easier to ask for what you need. So another element of feedback and taking ownership is linking the impact of the behavior to the larger system. Before coaching someone, consider how the behavior or the problem affects the team, the organization, and the work progress or process. Your goal is to help that person that you're giving feedback to understand their impact on the system and to demonstrate that the feedback is practical, not personal. So let's take a look at the difference between framing behavior personally and framing behavior systematically. Here's an example of a poorly worded link. Instead of saying, "I don't want you coming in late anymore, it really irritates me and your team is upset too," you can make a better link to the system. You might say something like, "Stephanie, I noticed that when you don't communicate about being late to your team members, they can't prepare for your absence. As a result, we don't have adequate coverage at the counter. This causes a longer wait time for our customers." So do you see how helping the employee appreciate the impact of his or her behavior is a part of effective coaching? When you frame your observations in this way, it really helps the person see the practicality of your suggestions and your comments. So when coaching to redirect, you want to slow down and pay attention to some speed bumps. You want to watch out for too many you statements, finger pointing and blaming. So make sure you're listening to the tone of your voice as well as the words you choose. You want to slow down and avoid focusing on the negative. You want to balance corrective feedback with positive reinforcement. Avoid distancing or avoiding someone and then blowing up. So letting it build up, build up, build up. And, you know, when we do that, it can create a lot of confusion and anger because we've been hiding how we really feel about it, not giving the feedback, and just letting it fester inside. And then it hits a fever pitch and we might explode. And we definitely want to try to avoid personalizing the issue. Focus on the behavior or the situation instead. So far we've been exploring the first two elements of constructive coaching. Let's do a quick review. For the first key element, the leader gives constructive feedback that can be heard and acted upon. The feedback should be developmental, descriptive, neutral, and well-timed. The second key element is about the leader taking personal ownership for his or her observations, so we reduce defensiveness in our team member. To do this, they use first-person language, consider differences in working styles, and link the behavior to the system. So now I want to introduce to you a step-by-step model or system you can use for coaching to redirect. It incorporates many of the techniques we've been discussing, and it gives you a tried-and-true roadmap for having an effective coaching discussion in 6 steps. Here we go. The first one is to state your positive purpose for coaching. Describe the specific behavior or issue or situation. Ask for the employee's input or suggestions. Provide additional coaching as needed. Agree on a plan for improvement and set a check-in date. So we're going to walk through each step of the model with some examples. And here we go. So if you begin by stating your intention or purpose, you help the person that you're giving feedback to focus on what's important. So here's an example of how that might sound. And this is in your participant guide as well. It's important to me that our department maintains its reputation for quality customer service. See, beginning with a focusing statement also helps you smooth the way for a constructive coaching session. In step 2, you're going to describe the behavior, the situation neutrally using descriptive and objective language. And you want to remember to speak in the first person and link it to the system. So in our example, it might sound like this. I'd like to talk with you about some problems we've been having with inaccurate orders. In the last few weeks, I've received 3 complaints that customers are not receiving the correct supplies. This morning, a customer returned these supplies along with this work order that you signed here as complete. You also want to make sure you focus on one and only one issue in step 2. This is not an opportunity to dump a truckload of negative observations on your team member. This is not what this is about. All right, in step 3, you're going to get the employee involved in this coaching discussion by asking for their input or suggestions. You're going to use open-ended questions to encourage them to talk about their observations and to generate ideas for improving the situation. So our example, would you take some time to look this over with me and think about what might be happening? What are your thoughts about this situation? What suggestions do you have for correcting the problem? Obviously, you're going to give the employee the time to answer those questions one at a time. Don't assume that you know what their perspective will be. Often, you're going to learn some new information that's going to be about needing to correct a process or a system or provide tools. So it's important to really go into this very neutral and not knowing what you're going to hear and being open to what you might hear. All right, step four. I mean, ideally, your team member is going to suggest some alternatives or some ideas for addressing the issue. And if so, you want to reinforce those suggestions that seem best. Sometimes, however, they may need some additional coaching. If that person's missing critical information or lacks the experience to resolve the issue, then as step four indicates, it's important to provide additional coaching as needed. So you could say something like, I like your idea to check in with Ron. He's the most accurate counter rep that we have, and he might have some good suggestions for you. In addition, I'd like you to develop a check sheet to double check your orders before sending them out. That may help you find your errors before your customers do. All right, so in step five, once you've had a solid discussion of the issue, summarize and agree on a plan. Now, depending on the seriousness of the issue, you may choose to put the plan in writing. If you're talking by phone with your team member because they're remote, I absolutely think it's worthwhile to have a plan put on in email, and then you send it to each other so it's recorded. So you might say something like, so to summarize your action plan, you'll consult with Ron to learn his techniques, and you'll also draft a check sheet to double-check your orders. Simple, right? Finally, you're going to set a check-in date and revisit the issue. Use this time to praise and reinforce progress or to redirect the employee if they're off track. So you could say something like, let's meet in a week from now and see how things are progressing for you. All right, so now you have the system. You have the six-step process. And we've got a great tool for you in your participant guide on page 9 where you get to choose a specific situation or when you have a specific situation where you need to coach to redirect. And you can use this worksheet on page 9 to help you plan for that conversation. I do recommend that you give as much of this feedback by voice as possible because it does require the employee's input. Chat, email, too much is lost because we don't have the tone of voice and the pacing that can often help to create a supportive environment. So that worksheet's available for you. You get to print it out and use it as many times as you want. I do recommend that you utilize it before you give constructive feedback next time around. I think you're going to find that it's going to help you to be more effective, and the employee that you're working with is going to be more receptive to receiving the feedback. All right, so key element number 3 is recognizing and appreciating performance improvement. So if you really want to start to earn the respect and admiration of your employees, you've got to incorporate regular, positive reinforcement into your daily interactions. Whenever you ask employees if they get enough recognition, the answer is inevitably no. And yet managers think we're giving enough a lot of the time. They need acknowledgement. It's far greater to give positive acknowledgement for what's going well, right? Because we praise what's going well, they'll keep doing it. And if we've taken the time to coach someone, we must also acknowledge the performance improvement we've seen in them. So consistently recognizing someone's development results is important. You want to make sure to notice when they have higher performance and greater commitment, because you'll get more performance and higher commitment as you do that. We all want to know where we stand, and we want to know that our efforts to improve are noticed and appreciated. So giving positive recognition is actually a habit that some coaches need to develop. Maybe that's you. One way to do this is to consciously make a point to provide recognition daily by noticing something positive about every employee's performance each week. Now, many average performers are like thirsty plants in the desert when it comes to receiving enough positive feedback. So look for and praise positive contributions to the organization. Be sure to be specific and genuine when providing recognition. The important thing is to make this a habit, and you can start doing it today. So my question to you is, who do you need to appreciate today? And if you don't have a team yet, there are people that are supporting you. Maybe they're not paid team members. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's your housekeeper or your landscaper or your kids are helping around the house. Positive feedback is like water. It really allows people to develop and grow, and it rejuvenates them so they keep working hard for you. So we've been exploring the coaching techniques that leaders use to help employees move through the development cycle. Specifically, we looked at three elements of a constructive coaching environment. The leader in element one gives constructive feedback that can be heard and acted upon. The leader in element two takes ownership of his or her observations to reduce defensiveness, and they recognize and appreciate performance improvement. So as we wrap up for today, it's time to piece it all together. You can use the worksheet on page 11 in your participant guide to create your action plan. I'd love for you to identify one situation in which you should coach to redirect and decide what's the next step you're going to take. You can put that into the chat if you'd like. All right, so for those of you that have joined me live, I want you to know you're going to be getting the follow-up email to this course with the recording, another link to the participant guide, and I'm just so thrilled that you've been here to learn this model. There's so much available to you when you develop the skills of being a great manager and a leader. You will get people to go to the ends of the earth for you, and when you support them in doing their best work, you're going to get better results. Just period. End of sentence. There's no other way that it works. You can apply this to your real world situations. This is not theory. This is not something we do in a lab. The six-step process for coaching to redirect will make an impact on your business, but only if you use it. So please put it into practice. Try it out. Get the skill under your belt, so to speak, so it becomes more second nature. And I want to let you know that there's more available to you if you're really inspired to take your management and leadership to the next level. Our next program in the Supercharge Your Team Results series is creating an inspiring work culture, providing a framework for driving results, inspiring your team, and transforming your business. I'm going to be teaching that live Wednesday, August 3rd at 11 a.m. Pacific. And in this course, I'm going to show you how to build an energizing and motivational culture, how to develop high performance by choice and not by demand, and how to celebrate and reward success with your team. You can register now for just $97. Or if you've already joined the Supercharge Your Team Results series, you get it included. So that's it for me today, everyone. I'm Deanna Mayo from Delegated to Done. I'm so grateful to have been able to share the six-step proven system with you for coaching to redirect. Can't wait to hear about the results you have using it. Please don't hesitate to email me to let me know. I would love to hear from you and celebrate your successes with you. Until the next time, have a beautiful rest of your day and know that you make an impact with your management and leadership every day with your team, your clients, your vendors, and everyone else that you're involved with. You have the ability to change the world one little bit at a time. Take good care, everybody. Bye for now.